All right, everybody, this is DJ Rem from Quote the Raven. I have Alex from the Cassini Project on with me today. How are you doing, Alex?
Hi, I'm doing great.
Awesome, awesome. So why don't you start kind of like by introducing yourself and talk a little bit about the Cassini Project and kind of what's going on with it?
Yeah, sure. I'm a one-man band, and I've recorded an album called Blue Ocean Event, which is out now on Spotify. These are all the kind of major places if you want to listen to it. And yeah, it's kind of like prog rock. So that's the kind of music I make. But, you know, across different genres as well. So there's a bit of like metal and industrial rock and even some kind of folksy ballads as well. So yeah, that's basically the Cassini Project. Yeah.
Okay. And you said, when did you release your album?
It's July 18th. Okay. Yeah, so it was a couple of days ago. Yeah.
Awesome. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool. Where can people go to listen to it, to buy it, etc.? Where's good places?
Yeah, you can find it on like Spotify, as I said, Tidal, Apple Music, Deezer. You can get it on Bandcamp. Bandcamp's awesome if you want to support it directly. You can find it on YouTube. So yeah, just the major kind of outlets.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Bandcamp is awesome. That's my favorite platform to go to support artists. Do you have it physical copies as well? Is it just digital right now?
At the moment, it's just digital. Yeah. Be nice if I had physical copies, like a vinyl pressing of it would be cool. Yeah.
Vinyl would be fantastic. And I would buy it if you put it out on vinyl. I'm a huge vinyl collector. I actually love the medium.
Yeah, it's great.
So tell me, you know, one man doing this all yourself, Cassini Project. So how did this kind of all start for you?
I was in several different bands at the time, and it was pretty hard to keep those bands going because, like, you know, somebody might leave for whatever reasons and then you have to find the replacement. And like, we would have guys coming in and, you know, they might show up. Sometimes they didn't at all. And if they did show up, like, they, you know, they might not come back because, like, you know, they had work commitments and things like that. So I was kind of finding that it was holding us back, holding me back as well. So I kind of thought, you know, why not just do it solo? You know what I mean? Because that way I can just, you know, record and move ahead with what I want to do. So, you know, I kind of saw other musicians like that, like, you know, Trent Reznor, he just went solo and just did it himself.
Yeah.
Devin Townsend, like, Malmsteen, like, all those guys are solos, soloists. So I just thought, yeah, that's what I'll do. And that's the genesis of where it started. That's how it got started. So, yeah. What was the question again? I kind of forgot it halfway through there.
No, you hit it. You hit it right on.
All
right.
Okay, good.
Yeah. No, you got it. So how did you come up with the name for the project? Where does that come from?
That's a great question. Basically I was kind of like thinking, I kind of liked the idea of space and Saturn, like the planet. And I had a Sega Saturn at the from childhood, so I thought, like, you know, so this is like a kind of scientific exploration mission called the Cassini Huygens probe, I think it was what it was called. I thought, oh, I'll call it the Cassini Project, you know. And then also I had a fan in Italy, and I kind of just named it, like, you know, because Cassini is a kind of an Italian sounding kind of word, so I just thought I'll name it that as well, just as a kind of nod to Italy, like, you know, thumbs up for, you know, like my music from the start. So that's where the name originated, like that kind of what's the word I'm looking for, kind of confluence of, like, you know, favorite planet being Saturn, favorite kind of video games console being the Sega Saturn, space, science, and Italy.
Nice. Very good. So with this new album that's out, how long did it take, kind of like from when you started writing to actually putting it all together, recording it, you know, the whole process? What would that look like for you?
Yeah, it took years. Like, I mean, I wrote those songs over a number of years. And then what I did was I picked the best songs to go on the album. So like Sometimes I would go back to them and sort of change, you know, particular arrangements. Like that would be the case with False Dawn, where I had a kind of different kind of time signature in the middle eight. So I changed that to make it a little bit more marching, as it were.
Okay.
As opposed to kind of what I originally had was kind of a waltz kind of time, which I didn't really feel fit with the rest of the song. So, you know, I would be going back and revising certain parts of these songs. And then the way I recorded it was essentially like, you know, again, the kind of conditions were right for this. So I had the money at this point. And then I also had a drummer who would actually play on the songs and a studio that I could access. So before that, like, you know, it was very hard to get a drummer to play. You know, because drummers are kind of like unicorns in a way. They're, you know, difficult to find. So, you know, with all those kind of parameters set, I was able to go ahead and make an actual, you know, proper studio recorded album. So like the way I would do it is I would record the songs like in batches of twos or fours. And, you know, I'd have like about, you know, 2 months or 4 months between each kind of studio recording interval. And what I would do is I would, you know, rehearse the parts like a lot, like ad infinitum until they were kind of like sort of muscle memory, because the kind of time in the studio is quite limited, you know, like for, you know, you're paying by the hour. So,
right. Yeah.
And then the other thing is like a lot of my songs have a lot of layers and intricate parts. So like I had to know them kind of that well to kind of bash them out to get it, you know, done in that kind of time frame. So that's kind of how the recording process went for it. And it took about a year and a bit. Like, I mean, the pandemic happened, which was kind of a little bit of a disruption, but it actually gave me more time to practice some of the songs. So I guess it worked out in that way.
Yeah, like, well, I'm in lockdown, so I might as well work on your music, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Nice. So what kind of influences have you had in your life that got you into music and kind of helped lead you down this path? You know?
Oh yeah, totally.
And part of that question is because I'm always curious to know, like, besides, and I'm interested to know like what bands and stuff you listen to, but besides that, well, did you have someone in your family that was musically inclined, you know, that kind of sparked your interest?
Yeah, sure. My brother introduced me to the Beatles and Queen from a very early age. Also Mozart and Beethoven. Kind of prefer Beethoven. And Buddy Holly as well. And, you know, kind of a huge range of different types of music. I'd say like, you know, Queen and the Beatles would be kind of like the foundations of, you know, what kind of got me into music. Rolling Stones, The Stranglers. So that was like when I was very young. So that, I've always had a kind of lifelong kind of love, as it were, of rock music. And yeah, like, I mean, then, you know, I was kind of like growing up, I was into kind of, you know, classic rock like Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd, but also kind of indie rock. There used to be a radio station in Ireland called Phantom FM, and they would play like, you know, rock music and metal, which is really cool. I used to listen to that a lot. And then, you know, when I got to university, I became interested in the Mars Volta. They're kind of a big influence. I was also into Jimi Hendrix because he's like a left-handed guitarist, as I am too. And let's see, Nine Inch Nails, got into Nine Inch Nails and Opeth, then Meshuggah. So like, you know, those kind of artists would have a big influence on me. Yeah.
Well, what I love, what I just heard, is you have a very wide eclectic range of musical tastes. And I can appreciate that because I do too. I listen everything that you named off. I like all that. I listen to all that. And there's a piece of me that loves classical music, you know? So when I'm out in a record store and I'm digging through the metal section, then I might go to the classical music section to see what I can find in there. So definitely, that's super cool. So are you in Ireland right now?
Yes, I'm in Ireland right now. Yeah, Dublin.
Okay, awesome. Very cool. Very cool. How's the music scene there? I mean, do you ever with this current, well, I guess it's probably kind of tough with being one person. Do you ever go out and do any live performances
right now? Not at the moment. Like, I mean, I'd need to get a band together to do that.
Right.
So yeah, at the moment I don't do live performances. I think, like, you know, the virtual online environments could be a possibility to kind of do live performances, you know, like, I mean, I've, you know, watched videos or heard stuff about that, like, you know, that that's the future of the kind of live performance scene. That would be interesting to explore. But yeah, currently I wouldn't be able to. But as regards the music scene, like, I mean, there is definitely a kind of underground metal rock scene, which is alive and kicking. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have bands like Scathed that are doing well, you know, that's pretty cool. So Scythian Rail, I'm not sure if they're still around anymore, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if I looked at, like, your music playlist right now, what bands would I find you listening to right now?
Let me think. Music playlist, what bands? Probably, you know, Biomechanical. They're kind of this sort of like a symphonic progressive metal bands from like the mid-noughts. I'm sort of listening to them a lot at the moment. Let's see, who else? I sort of listen to Black Sabbath as well, and Beck. You know Beck? Yeah, yeah. I really like what he does, like, just the way he kind of goes from one genre to the next, like, uh-huh. on a single album, you know. Thin Lizzy are great. Reverend Bizarre is actually what I'm listening to at the moment. They're kind of a Finnish doom metal band.
Okay.
And I picked up a vinyl record of theirs in Obscene Extreme, you know, that festival in Trutnov. I haven't heard of that one. Oh, it's awesome. Yeah, it's great. It's just a mental heavy metal music festival, like death metal, kind of grindcore, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, people can get up on the stage and then jump off the stage.
Oh, nice.
Brilliant. Yeah, yeah, it's wild. that'd be what I'm currently listening to. That's what you would find on my playlist.
awesome. Yeah, I have a couple metal festivals coming up that I'm going to next month, because I'm here in the U.S. in Michigan, and we have one coming up called Michigan Metal Fest, and cool. So that's going to have three stages, like 40 bands playing.
Awesome.
So I'm looking forward to that. And then the owners of Metal Devastation Radio are actually putting on a metal fest in Tennessee, where they're at, and that's in October. And I'm gonna go to that too. So
great, yeah.
Looking forward to some. And it's, both of them are more underground-ish metal. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like your big mainstream stuff, which I'm definitely more about. So I'm excited to go do that.
Cool. But,
so, aside from Bandcamp, like, for your music, what social media are you on for people to check you out?
Yeah, I have a very active YouTube channel. So, like, I mean, I have you know, covers as well. You know, I recently completed a cover of Brahms Violin Concerto in D Major, which was a monumental task, and I think it was pretty cool. It kind of worked out pretty well. You know, I have a cover of, you know, I did one cover version, as it's amazing, like, how it took off. Like, it's just weird, like, it's amazing. It's a you know, there's an anime called Berserk. Okay. And there's like a character in it called Berserk, I think. No, Guts, sorry, that's his name. And there's a theme for him, which is just incredibly, like, poignant, right? Very powerful, beautiful piece of music. So I kind of did a rock interpretation of it, sort of like Pink Floyd. And yeah, it got like a 100,000 listens on Spotify so far.
Oh, wow.
And like, awesome. Yeah. And a couple of 100,000 views on, like, my own video's got like about 15,000 views, but like this Russian guy took the idea, and it got like 80,000 views. Like, so he mixed it in with different types of music. But yeah, it's pretty cool, like, that, you know, the way that worked out. So, like, yeah, I'm on YouTube and Instagram and Twitter and TikTok a bit. I think at SoundCloud, Jamendo, that's Jamendo. Okay. Yeah, you can download albums from there, so yeah, that's kind of pretty cool.
So you're like pretty much everywhere.
Yeah, I'm pretty much everywhere. Yeah.
Yep. So, and is it under Cassini Project?
Yes, and there's a bit of a trick to spelling this. So it's like the Cassini Project. So it's like the and then Cassini. Then project is spelled Project. Because yep. I wanted to be cool and spell it weirdly, because, you know, a bit of a Germanic kind of effect as well, you know.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, it makes it hard to find.
Well, yeah, but spelling it differently makes it easier to not have to worry about other other people having the same name.
Yes. Yeah, indeed.
Awesome. Awesome. So what, you know, besides making music, your musical interests, do you have any other crazy hobbies you're into, things you do, or is music kind of like everything you do?
Well, that's an interesting question, because like, yes, music would technically be everything I do, but I like making videos. So I make videos to go along with my songs.
Okay.
So that's a kind of good interest for me to have. And then also I do art as well. So I actually finished doing the cover, the artwork for like a second album that I'm working on at the moment, called Grass Messiah, which should be out at some point.
I saw the art and I was like, that is fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. and did I read that like you came up with that from a dream or something?
Absolutely, yes. That's right. Yeah,
that's
it was
awesome.
A crazy dream. It was a really nice dream.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It's pretty chill. Yeah, no, that artwork is super cool. I was like, that is, yeah. So cool. I'm assuming you're already starting to write new music for that.
Oh, it's almost finished, actually. Like, so I was in the studio yesterday and it was just going really well. I actually fit in an extra song. So like I have to finish that one up in a couple of weeks. But yes, there's like a second album almost done to be released at some point.
Yeah, because I feel like I read you were, the date you had down was like 2025.
Yeah, kind of. Circumstances permit. I'd like to get it out earlier than that. But okay. Yeah, to get the kind of conditions right for it to be released, you know, so people know it exists, thinking it could be around then. Yeah.
So what do you, when you say conditions are right, what do you look for?
Just a plan like of how to put it out there, because you know music, like it gets drowned out in a sea of other music. So you know, maybe a record label or you know some, or a promotional campaign, but you know the conditions have to be kind of favorable to put it out there. So it might take some time. Also work and sort of like that like might get in the way in between the, now and then. So you know, I might want to do a tour for it, you know, if I got a band together, that'd be
super
awesome.
Cool.
So yeah, exactly. So like, it's kind of like, I would be inclined to kind of, you know, be cautious about how to release it, you know, because the worst thing you can do is just like put it out there immediately and then, you know, that's it, you know? So I think it's good to kind of, you know, prepare. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Cause you want people to actually know it's there, like you said, and actually, and to listen to it. So.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Super cool. Is there anything we haven't talked about that you want to make sure people know about Cassini Project or yourself?
Let's have a look. See if there's anything. Not really. I think we've covered everything. Just like check out Blue Ocean Event because it's awesome. if you like prog rock, if you like you know, kind of like, it's kind of a bit like, you know, how Beck would approach music in the respect that he did a lot of different styles, like on Odelay and like even Midnight Vultures a bit, even though it was funk themed, but he, you know, do lots of different styles. So it's kind of like, you know, going back to the whole influence thing, it's kind of like that, like, I mean, that would be one dude that had a big influence on my approach. It's just like, you know, to do different types of music rather than just like just the one, you know,
right?
And experiments. So like if you want like variety and filter through a kind of prog rock lens, like that's the album Blue Ocean Event. So yeah, check it out.
Cool. Well, I will definitely check out the whole album and we'll do everything I can to support you. I'll make sure it gets some airplay on my radio show and you know, we'll help push it out there and You know, we'll push this interview out to people, hopefully help draw some extra attention and things. So I want to thank you for taking time to talk to me today. It's been great.
Cool. Thank you. I appreciate it. Spencer, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Appreciate it, Spencer. Thanks.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. See you then. Bye. Yep.
Have a great evening.
Bye. Thanks. Same to you. Bye. Yep.
Bye.